ask his girlfriend of a suited amount of time that he would like to know if she would marry him. And so he sets it all up, very special place. He's got it in his mind when this is all going to happen. You know, he's decided for whatever reason. I think probably it was because he had to pick some point in time where his courage had built up enough to do something about it. And so right before the dessert, he looks at his girlfriend and says, "You know, we've known one another for a long time. We're getting closer and closer. Will you marry me?" Big question. So she looks at him and she says, "You know, marriage, it's a very interesting subject. I've heard other people talk a lot about it. I've done studying. I've seen things about it on TV. Very, very, very fascinating." Now, you can imagine how that response would have gone over to this poor soul who's really worked up his courage. And that's the response he gets. Or even worse, she says, "No, I'm not interested." You know, there are really important places in our lives where we would really like people to join us. Sometimes it's graduation, sometimes it's weddings. We do it in unusual ways these days, maybe online or something like that, you know, graduation, such things. But I've thought about how important it is when someone has, or how significant it is when someone has a question that's really, really important, and there's really no interest in the answer. And of course, I think about what we would commonly refer to as an offering provided by God. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, the key word here is the very first word in verse 28, and that is to come. It says, "I'm inviting you to come with me. I'm inviting you to join with me." And this is, at least for those of us who become Christians, we understand how significant this is. I mean, this is a really important request or invitation that God has devised over a long period of time throughout eternity, that this is what's going to happen at some point in time when God's going to invite us to come to him. And just like in Jesus' day, there were many people who just weren't that interested. Or they might have said, "Well, we appreciate who you are and things you do. And I'm glad that you're a son of Abraham like we're a son of Abraham. But, you know, we're just really not that interested." What I'm trying to review with you this morning is that God is always calling us to him. He's always calling people to him. And the call, the invitation, the come, if you will, is the most important invitation you and I will ever receive. It's the most important invitation anybody could ever receive in this world. And yet, it seems very easy for most to conclude that it's really not all that important, or I'll just kind of find a place for it in my life and I won't let it upset me all that much, change my life all that much. But over and over, you'll notice that God is inviting people to come. "Come now," Isaiah 1:18. "Let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they're red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land." This is the promise to Israel in the invitation that they're receiving. "But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken." So there is a result of, you know, how one goes about responding to this question. God says, "Come on, let's reason together." These people had not been listening to him. In the prophets, you'll see phrases oftentimes, "I've reached out to you, I've talked to you, but you're not listening to what I have to say." He's saying, "I want you to be with me. I want to take care of you. So come to me. Come to me. I think of when you're teaching your children to walk and you're holding your hands out to them and they're taking, you know, what might be their first step. And what's the word you always use? Come on, come, come to me, come. And of course, what you want to see in their response is that they have confidence in you. This is a good thing. I'm okay. Yesterday I was driving through our neighborhood and it wasn't exactly like this, but there was a guy who had a chair, you know, that kind of slid along the concrete. It was an outdoor chair of some description. And he was at the seat part of the chair, and the little boy or girl, whatever it was behind the chair. And so he or she is pushing it and doing a really good job. I don't know how they didn't get caught and cracked somewhere. But nevertheless, I mean, the father was really trying to encourage the child. Come on, come on, we can do this. I was getting some extra help. But there was that sense that the parent is trying to say, it's okay, come on. This is the best thing you can do right now. And that's what God is telling Israel. He says similarly in verse 1 of chapter 55, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you will have no money. He who have no money, you come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without mercy and without cost. And he says, why would you go anywhere else? Why would you spend money for what is really not that important? Bread. So what I'm trying to present to you this morning, as we try to have a concept of who God is a God that invites. And he's always been doing this. Come to me. You know, all things are ready. Come to the feast. Very, very prominent hymn in hymn books dating back 200 years. God is inviting us. Now, I want you to try to, in your own mind, try to picture God, obviously here through his word, but what he's doing is he's inviting me and you to listen. This is an ongoing affair that we have here. He wants us to engage him. In this case, we see that God has found a special place in time for Israel. It was, look, things have gotten so bad, it's time for you to come to me. But he, notice how he keeps wanting them to come back. He tells a few stories, Jesus does. They're parables. One of them is found in Matthew 22 and verse 4. There were some people that had been invited to a feast. And it was a pretty significant feast, as you'll find out. It is a wedding feast. They've already denied the invitation. This very significant person, the master, a very prominent person, invites everybody to come to the wedding, and a lot of people just aren't interested. And so maybe to sweeten the pot a little bit, in 22 verse 4, he says, tell those who have been invited, there's that word again in a slightly different form, invited, come. Behold, I have prepared my dinner and my oxen and my fat and livestock. All are butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. And I think that's where the hymn comes from. But they paid no attention and went their way. One to his own farm, another to his business. The rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. Not only did they not get all that interested, because, you know, maybe they'll come if they really know how great this is. And isn't that what we try to do when we're talking to those who will listen to us? We want them to understand how great this is, that we are inviting them to come with us. The Lord has invited us and we've come to him. And now we want you to share in what we're receiving. But these people just were not interested. In fact, they were so disinterested, they went ahead and destroyed those people who were working for him. But there again, this idea that the Lord is presenting to these people what is exactly going on here is as Jesus is there in his life, he's inviting, if you will. He's drawing people near to him by the things that he teaches, by the miracles that he's doing. Come, come to me. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, Jesus said. But then we get these stories in principle, very significant stories or parables, which all have the same thing. God is inviting. He's inviting us to come. I just want us to try to emphasize this aspect of it, because a lot of times what we do is we get to the end of the story where the people who refuse to come are individuals who ultimately are thrust out of the kingdom. So a lot of times we jump to that and we say, see, here's what happens. And that's important. But maybe it's just as important to say, look at God. He's trying to get people to come to him. He really wants us to come. And in this incredible feast that is offered in this story, I mean, what he's really telling us is, you think that's special? Let me tell you how great it is. And that's what the story communicates. In Mark 1 and verse 14, there, as the gospel story is developing in Mark in very early stages, kind of starts right off in adulthood for Jesus. But he says, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel and saying what? The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them what? Come to me or follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their knees and left their nets and followed him. We don't know probably a whole lot about what's going on here. I suspect that they're in the area. Jesus has been in this area, and they probably had heard him teach, or at least at the very minimal thing. They had known he had done these miracles. They'd heard of his reputation. He comes along, and what does he do? He invites them. Come on. And they go. I mean, if they were in their own mind, feeling pretty good about the idea that he was the Messiah, or at least they had some question about it, and he says, come on, join with me. I mean, surely they didn't understand the fullness of what was going on here, but nevertheless, here is the Messiah. As much as they could understand him, here's the Messiah, and he's saying, come on, come with me. Do you see the God that we have? Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 36, what is this statement that he has said, you will seek me and will not find me? Here's a question that the disciples were wondering about. And he said, where I am, you cannot come. Well, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if anyone is thirsty, of course, this is Passover week. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Here he is, inviting. So God doesn't make this difficult to understand. I mean, in terms of what it is he wants from me and you. We may struggle over some of the things that are said or things that are taught, but nevertheless, what's he doing? He keeps saying to me, come on, come to me. Come to me. I want you to come to me. I want you to come to the greatest feast you could ever imagine. These three stories, we've already got into one in Matthew chapter 22. And there's the verse that we already read, and I'll just notice again that he wanted them to come. He'd prepared a dinner and then list all the marvelous things that are going to be part of the menu, but they still don't want to come. But the point is, he is inviting them. Now, my question is, and the context here, if you look at the end of chapter 21, you probably get the idea of what's at least the emphasis that is being made here. I mean, obviously, it's to all who might listen. But in this particular case, he's reaching out to the Pharisees. He's reaching out to the Sadducees, those people who seem to be inclined to reject him, many of them. And I think probably this parable is more directed to them. Now, I think that because of what it says in verse 43 of chapter 21, which is leading up to it in the text. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust. But when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, plural, they understood that he was speaking about them. So they understood that at least some of the things that he was saying specifically were directed at them. Now, obviously, it moves out to all who might be willing to listen, but I think it's very true. I think they're probably right. I think that's what he's saying. I'm inviting you to come to the feast, to this great wedding feast. Can't you recognize the beauty of it? I mean, how filled you will be as a result of it? He wants them to come to him. And he tells this story to help them to understand. It's like this. It's like a very significant individual is having a wedding feast. And he invites you to come and you say, no, I'm not interested. And you're so negative about it, maybe overstating it in some ways, at least in the story, you know, that the people who are doing the inviting get killed. Now, probably, if you're trying to connect this in some ways to teachings of how God worked amongst the people, well, obviously, like prophets. You know, prophets came, and what did they do? They were rejected. But what was he doing? He was inviting. That's what he was doing. God is an inviter. God says, come. So he's not out here trying to behave in any manner of a remote way of going about doing things. He wants his people, the people to whom he goes here, I want you to come with me. He's not saying, go over here, because that's what I want you to do, because that's the right thing. Because if I command you to do that, that's what you should do. God's a much more personal God than that. God's a lot more personal than many of us are. God says, I want you to come to me. I want you to be with me. And I want to be with you. No, I don't want to lord it over you in the sense that I'll keep my distance away from you. And yes, we need to continue to revere and honor God. But nevertheless, he's saying, come to me. I want you to be with me. That's the kind of God that we have. Another similar story in Luke chapter 14. He began speaking a parable to the invited guest when he had noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table. Now, this is a slightly different angle on it, but people actually came, but people came and they didn't really have the right heart. They thought, well, look at me. I've been invited to a very, very significant thing. And so what Jesus says is when you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this man, and then in disgrace you proceed to occupy the last place. But again, understand, it's all about inviting. That's the theme. It's about come to me. Somehow we have to get into our heads that this is a very personal event, God asking people to come to him. And yes, he's saying, I want you to understand my word. I want you to study my word and know who I am. I get that. But when Jesus was there, not only did he point them to the teaching of the Old Testament that proclaimed him as Messiah, not only did he do that, but he said, come on, I want you to be with me. But when you come, you've got to come to me in a very humble fashion. And he goes on to say, again, to help us understand that when you invite people, if you're going to be one of mine, if you understand what it means to be invited by me, think about how you invite people. He also went on to say to the one who had invited him to this particular gathering, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that will be your repayment. But when you give a reception, this is another gathering, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. See what Jesus is saying here? I'm inviting you. But I'm also wanting you to have some sort of mindset in your own way of looking at the world where you're understanding that I'm inviting you, and look at the kind of people who are coming to me, and those are the same sort of people that you ought to be inviting to your own gatherings. And of course, it's understanding that you may think God is inviting you because you're something special or because you're better than other people in comparison, but that's not true at all. God says, when you have something going on, invite the people, not who are going to be able to repay you, but invite the people who truly are the ones who are in need. Man was giving a big dinner. He invited many. At the dinner hour, he sent his slaves to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. Now, again, I want you to imagine for a moment, if you can, what it's like to be God as we wrap this thing up. What it is like to be God when he offers, when he invites us to come to him. And this is the kind of response. The first one says they all began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. And another one said, I have married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come. Now, put yourself in the place of this guy who was asking this girl to marry him. This invitation was really, really important to him. And how did he want her to respond? In the very same way he was meaning it. He wanted her to be excited to hear the question and excited to answer. How do you imagine it is that God is offering us this opportunity that was stated back in Matthew chapter 11? And all these individuals, if you go ahead and read on in the rest of the account, they just didn't want to come. They weren't interested in the invitation. And so then ultimately, what happens is that the master says, well, just get people who will come. Go out in the streets. Bring them here. And of course, we know that ultimately, this would be the Gentiles if we follow this in the story here. And certainly that's, I think, a reasonable way to look at it. But he says it's bad news for those who didn't treat the invitation. Now, again, most all of us here are Christians. So we're not talking about the traditional way we think of the invitation. That's something that happens at the end of a sermon. We're talking about trying to understand that God wants us to be with him. And every time we read his word, we should look at it that way, that he's inviting us to be with him. And God says, if you're not interested, then I'll go find somebody else. So I want you to think about that with that in mind, this final passage. This is something Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10. I ask you to tell me whether you think this is an invitation. And I'm not talking about an invitation just narrowly the way we look at it. What does it say? The word is near. It's near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Come to me. Come to the feast. I am inviting you to come. And if you come, you will not be disappointed. God is a God who invites people. God is a God who invites people to come to him. Jesus came to the earth to invite us to understand what it means to be able to be with God, and it's going to come through me and through your faith in me, as Paul says. So think about it. Understand, I think, when you read these stories, well, this is what happens to the people who don't come. It's an important part of the story. But it's just as important to look at what God is doing. to help me and to help you to understand what it means to know what kind of God we have. I mean, he wants me to be there. He's invited me to come. You okay, Carrie? Okay. So why not think about that this morning? And if you're not a Christian and you've never really said, you know, I know you are my Savior, Lord. I've never really responded. You've said come to me and I've never come. Well, the invitation, you see, it's always there. God's always reaching out. If that's what's on your mind today and you understand that you need to do that, that this God has been standing there, so more or less on the sidelines, figuratively speaking, saying, come on over here with me. And you've not done it. Got to be a good time right now. We invite you to come as we stand and sing.